Japa conference call. And today we are very fortunate to have with us His Grace Sachi Pran Prabhuji to enlighten on the topic of Chaitanya Charitamrita Antya Leela from 17.39 onwards. Hare Krishna Sachi Pran Gaur Hari Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for giving your very valuable time and association and enlightening on the topic, Prabhuji. I hand over the call to you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for the introduction. Hare Krishna, dear devotees, thank you all for joining today's session on Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm very thankful for this opportunity to speak some Harikatha today and purify myself. I'm very, very grateful for this. My respectful obeisances to my Guru Maharaj, who has so mercifully accepted me and given me shelter at his lotus feet. My respectful obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, all our acharyas, and all of our Gurujan. And my respectful obeisances to all the Vaishnavas assembled on this call today. Please bless me so I can speak some Harikatha and purify myself and glorify the Lord and His devotees. We'll start with the Mangalacharan, invoking auspicious blessings. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदामह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितान्तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च नमोम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछाकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः नमोम विष्णुपादाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश तारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेम प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामिने गौरत्विषये नमः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरंगी श्री राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणामामि हरिप्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे हरेर्नाम हरेर्नाम एव केवलम कलौ नास्त्येव 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 गतिरन्यथा मूकं करोति वाचलं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारणं परमानंदमाधवं श्रीचैतन्य ईश्वरं जय जय श्रीचैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैतचंद्र जय गौरभक्तवृंद जय जय श्रीचैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण सो बिफोर वी बिगिन अवर क्लास टुडे लेट अस ग्लोरीफाई श्री चैतन्य चरितामृत सो द स्क्रिप्चर will bless us and will reveal the inner meaning of what we are reading today. So the first glorification and the first verse glorifying Chaitanya Charitamrita comes from Antya Leela. Chaitanya Charitrai Amritera Sindhu Karnamana Truptakare Yara Eka Bindu. Kaviraj Goswami, he says, Chaitanya Charitra e Amrutera Sindhu. The life, the characteristics, the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful, the most munificent, the most magnanimous incarnation of Sri Krishna. The life and characteristics of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like Amrutera Sindhu. It is an ocean of nectar. And Karna Mana Trupta Kare Yara Eka Bindu. Just one drop. You don't have to drink much, just one drop. If we can drink just one drop of this nectarian ocean consisting of the pastimes, life and characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Karna Mana Trupta Kare, it will pacify, it will satisfy our mind and our ears. This material world, it's compared to Bhavasagar. It is compared to a sagar, ocean of miseries. We have lust, anger, greed, pride, envy, illusion. We have the mode of goodness, passion, ignorance. We have positives, negatives, happiness, sorrow, good, bad, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadi. We have adidaivika klesh, adibhautika klesh, adhyatmika klesh. So there are so many difficulties in this material world. Still, if we can study, if we can absorb even one drop from this nectarian ocean of pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then we will be satisfied. We don't have to hanker for anything else. That's the topmost benediction of Chaitanya Charitamrita. And another verse, again, this is also coming from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Leela. Here, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Bhava Sindhu Tari Bare Acheyara Chitta Shraddha Kari Shuna Sei Chaitanya Charitra. This is also in the same lines of the first verse. It says, Bhava Sindhu Tari Bare Acheyara Chitta. If one has a desire to cross over this Bhava Sindhu, this ocean of material existence, this ocean of ignorance, ocean of nations. If one has a desire, tari bare, to cross over this material existence, then what should one do? Shraddha kari shunya shay chaitanya charitra. One should hear with faith. One should hear with faith the chaitanya charitra, the life and characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then one can easily cross over the ocean of material existence. So with that very brief glorification, we will start our discussion today. So let me share my screen. Mataji, can you confirm if you're able to see the
yes
browser?
Yes, Prabhuji. Yes.
Okay. Sorry, 1 minute. I just dropped it. Okay. So we are reading from chapter 17 of Antya Leela, the bodily transformation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is Ratnareka Manjari or Kasturi Manjari in Golok Vrindavan, writes in the first verse of this chapter, he says, I'm simply trying to write Lord Gaurachandra's transcendental activities and spiritual madness, which are very wonderful and uncommon. And I dare to write of them only because I have heard from the mouths of those who have personally seen the Lord's activities. So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who is an eternal associate of the Lord, he himself, is feeling that these are very uncommon and very wonderful pastimes of the Lord. The transcendental activities and the spiritual madness, these are very wonderful and uncommon, and they're very difficult. So, and he's saying he's daring to write them, and he's doing that only because he has heard from the mouths of those who are personally associated with the Lord, who have personally seen the Lord's activities. So by the mercy of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, by the mercy of our Acharyas, by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, you know, we are able to drink some nectar from Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we'll start from verse 39 today and cover till verse 48. So in the previous session, we saw how Radharani was chastising Krishna for stealing the minds of the gopis and lives and asking Krishna to give up his tricks. So Mahaprabhu, again in the mood of imbibing Srimati Radharani's mood, continues to show the frustration and anger and recites another verse. And as the pattern we saw in the previous section, Mahaprabhu recites a verse and then again he explains the verse also. So we'll read verse 39.
Etaka hi krodha veshe bave rata range base utkanta sagare dube mana radhara utkanta vani pari apane vakani krishna madhurya kare aswadana.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke these words in a mood of anger as he floated on waves of ecstatic love. And why is he angry? He's angry because there are a couple of reasons. One, Mahaprabhu was immersed in this Leelas and then the devotees broke his trance. And then also he's angry because Krishna is playing tricks. He is showing himself once and then he's disappearing. His Leelas are manifest once and then they are disappeared. Mahaprabhu is able to hear the flute and then he's not able to. So with all of these mixed emotions and with a mood of anger floating in the waves of ecstatic love, Mahaprabhu spoke few words. Merged in an ocean of anxiety, he recited a verse spoken by Srimati Radharani, expressing the same emotion. Then he personally explained the verse and thus tasted the sweetness of Krishna. So Mahaprabhu, he recited a verse that was spoken by Srimati Radharani and he's expressing the same emotion because Mahaprabhu is outside, he's Krishna, externally is Krishna, but internally he's carrying the Mahabhav of Srimati Radharani. So Mahaprabhu, he quotes a verse and he personally explained the verse and thus tasted the sweetness of Krishna.
नदज्जलत निस्वना श्रवणकर्षि षट्चिञ्चिदः सनर्मारसशूचकाक्षरपदार्थभङ्गी उत्तीतका रमादीका वराङ्गना हृदयहारिवंशी कला समे मदनमोहना सकितनोति कर्णस्पृहाम्.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, and actually this verse is coming from Govinda Leelamrita. So Mahaprabhu continued, "My dear friend, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, has a voice as deep as a cloud resounding in the sky. With the tinkling of his ornaments, he attracts the ears of the gopis. And with the sound of his flute, he attracts even the goddess of fortune and other beautiful women. That personality of Godhead, known as Madana Mohana, whose joking words carry many indications and deep meanings, is increasing the lusty desires of my ears." So in the previous section, Radharani mentioned three attributes, three nectarian attributes through which Krishna attracts the hearts and minds of the gopis. And what are they? The first one is the flute, the beautiful sound vibrations from the flute that Krishna is carrying.
and then the sweet words of Krishna, and then the third one is the sound of the ornaments, the beautiful ornaments that Krishna is wearing, the sounds that are generated when Krishna moves. Or these are the three nectarian attributes of the sound, of the sounds that are captivating the hearts and minds of the gopis. So these are the three that Radharani mentioned in the, or Mahaprabhu mentioned in the previous section. So in this verse, we see there is one more nectarian attribute that is added, and that is Krishna's voice. Text 41. Kantera gambira dvani navagana dvani jini yaragune kokila la jaya tara eka shruti kane dubaya jagatera kane punakana bahudina aya. So here Mahaprabhu is continuing to explain. He's starting to explain. He says, Krishna's deep voice, Kantera Gambira Dvani, the sound, the Gambira sound, the deep sound that is emanating from Krishna's throat, it is more resonant than newly arrived clouds. When there are clouds, you know, there is sometimes thunder sound that we hear. Mahaprabhu is explaining that Krishna's voice is more resonant than the sounds that is sound generated by the newly arrived clouds. And then his sweet song defeats even the sweet voice of the cuckoo. The cuckoos, coming from India, we all know this, that the cuckoos, they have a beautiful voice. Now, Mahaprabhu is saying that the voice of Krishna is actually even more sweeter than the voice of a cuckoo. Indeed, his song is so sweet that even one particle of its sound can inundate the entire world. So Mahaprabhu is saying that the song, the sound coming from Krishna is so beautiful, so sweet, that just one particle of its sound can inundate the entire world. Just like we were reading in the beginning, in the glorification of Chaitanya Charitamrita, the mind and the ear are easily pacified just by drinking one drop of the nectarian ocean of the life and characteristics, pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So similarly here, Mahaprabhu is saying that Krishna's, just one particle of the sound that Krishna is producing, generating, that one particle is enough to inundate the entire world. And Mahaprabhu continues, he says, if such a particle enters one's ears, one is immediately bereft of all other types of hearing. So that is the greatness of Krishna's sound, the voice sound. Now Mahaprabhu continues to explain, kaha saki ki kari upai. Now Mahaprabhu is, Radharani, she is asking her sakis, oh sakis, oh dear friend, what is the upai? Tell me what to do now. What is the option now? Krishne rashe shabde gune harile amara kane eva na paya trushnaya mariyaya. Radharani is saying, my ears have been plundered by the qualities of Krishna's sound. Krishnera se sabde gune harile amara kane. My ears, kan, have been attracted. Harile, have been attracted, defeated. My ears have been defeated, occupied by what? Krishnera se sabde. The words emanating, the sound emanating from Krishna, they have defeated, they have conquered my ears. And then she says, now, however, I cannot hear his transcendental sound. Ebena paya, I cannot hear it anymore. Trushnara mari yaya. And because of the thirst,
of wanting to hear Krishna's sound, I'm almost dead. Mari, I'm almost dead. I'm almost dying. So here we can see that Mahaprabhu, originally he was able to hear and then he was not able to hear. So Mahaprabhu is saying that because I was able to hear before and because I'm not able to hear now, I'm feeling the separation. I'm feeling the separation from Krishna's sound. So just how the gopis, after Krishna left them, how they felt the separation. Now Mahaprabhu trying to absorb or understand what the bhav of the gopis was, he's able to experience that in the form of Krishna's sound. He was able to hear before and now he's not able to hear, and that is causing the separation in Krishna, in Mahaprabhu's heart. Text 43.
Nupura kinkini dwani hamsa sarasa jini kankana dwani chatake la jaya ekabara eshune vyapi rahe tara kane anya shabda se kane na yaya. Nupura kinkini dwani,
the dwani, the sound of the tinkling, kinkini of Nupur, the ankle bells that Krishna is wearing, they are causing beautiful sound. Hamsa sarasa jini, it is conquering the sounds made by hamsa, swans, and sarasa, cranes. So that is the beauty of the twinkling sound being generated by the Nupur, the bells, ankle bells that Krishna is wearing.
Kankana dhwani chatake la jaya.
The kankan, the bangles that Krishna is wearing, the sounds coming from the bangles that Krishna is wearing, chatake la jaya. They put chatak bird to shame. Because chatak bird can sing very nicely. So chatak bird feels ashamed hearing the bangles, the sounds coming from the bangles of Sri Krishna. And then Mahaprabhu continues, or Radharani continues,
ekabari ekabara eshune vyapi rahe tara kane.
Mahaprabhu says, ekbar, just one time, having heard this just once, one cannot tolerate hearing anything else. Anya shabda se kana na yaya. It is not possible to hear anything else. So this is very, very deep and very esoteric, very difficult to understand or comprehend. So in our lives, we can use this verse as a test for ourselves. How much do we like hearing prachalpa or gossip or anything that is not related to Krishna? You know, how much do we like hearing those? So the extent to which we feel averse, we feel distasteful to hearing non-Krishna related topic, we can understand that is how much we are advancing on the path of bhakti. This is a litmus test for us. Mahaprabhu, once having heard the beautiful sound of Krishna, he is not able to tolerate hearing anything else. He says the ears are not able to tolerate hearing anything else. So in our practice of bhakti, as we make progress on the path of bhakti, we should also test ourselves. How much am I attracted to hearing Harikatha? How much am I, how much distaste do I have towards non-Krishna conscious related topics? You know, that is, we have to constantly evaluate ourselves. And this is something we have to evaluate individually, ourselves. We don't have to ask others, how do I know I'm progressing? You know, it's not required. It is a very simple test for ourselves. How much taste do we have to hear Harikatha? You know, so this is a litmus test for us. Another point I was thinking was that the mention of chatak birds, they only drink rainwater. That too only when it is Swati Nakshatra. And it is, chatak bird is explained, it is completely attached to this principle. It may die, but it will not drink water from any other source. Similarly, we devotees should also show attachment to Sri Sri Radha Krishna. We should show attachment to the path of bhakti. We should show attachment to Vaishnavas. Are we able to easily give up things that are unfavorable to the path of bhakti? Are we able to easily accept things that are favorable to the path of bhakti? Are we accepting things, instructions from our superiors lovingly? Or are we doing with frustration? You know, these are all simple tests for ourselves to understand how we are progressing. And to the extent we are able to accept all of these things easily, things that are favorable to our bhakti easily, that is how much we are advancing on the path of bhakti. So we'll continue. Text 44.
Se Shri Mukabashita Amruta Haite Paramruta Smitakarpura Tahate Mishrita Shakta Arta Dove Shakti Nana Rasa Kare Vyakti Pratyakshara Narma Vibhushita.
Mahaprabhu continues to explain. Now Mahaprabhu is explaining Krishna's speech. Mahaprabhu is saying Krishna's speech is far sweeter than nectar. Each of his jubilant words is full of meaning. Each of his jubilant words is full of meaning. We see Bhagavatam, our scriptures, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, all of these, every word has various meanings. And as we progress in the path of bhakti, we are able to understand newer levels, hidden meaning of the scriptures. Prati shloke prati akshare nana artha kahe. Every verse, every word, every syllable has different meanings. So similarly here, Mahaprabhu is saying that the words of Krishna are jubilant and they are full of meaning. And when his speech mixes with his smile, smita, when the speech is mixed with smile, which is like camphor, Krishna's smile is compared to camphor, the resultant sound and deep meaning of Krishna's words create various transcendental mellows. This, the mixture of the sweet words of Krishna, which have full of meaning, lot of meaning, when it is mixed with a smile, which is like camphor, then it causes various transcendental mellows. We see here again, there are so many instructions in the scriptures. Bhagavad Gita is directly spoken by Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is personal manifestation, literary incarnation of Krishna. And these scriptures have so many instructions. So are we able to follow these instructions? Are these instructions bitter for us? Or are we able to follow them happily? And if we are not able to follow, then are we at least attempting to follow? Or are we just giving up? You know, Krishna, actually, he's more interested. I was hearing in one lecture, Krishna is more interested in our effort, our endeavor. He does not see whether we succeed or not. Krishna just sees whether we are attached to the process of bhakti or not, whether we are attached to following the instructions or not. And, you know, it is only by the mercy of Krishna that we will be able to succeed in the path of bhakti. Individually, with our effort, we cannot succeed. We see even in Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, when Brahma, after Brahma performed the austerities and after Brahma offered prayers to the Lord, Lord Narayan appeared. And at that time, the Lord told him that, "Oh Brahma, I'm very pleased with your prayers. But the prayers that you have chanted in my glorification and all the austerities and penances that you have performed to understand me, and your firm faith in me, Lord Narayan says, all of these are due to my causeless mercy. So Brahma, who is the topmost living entity in this material world, he has performed so many austerities. Nobody can beat that. He has performed so many penances. And he performed all of this with great faith. And he offered prayers in the glorification of the Lord. And Lord Narayan, what did he say? He said, all of these are due to just my causeless mercy. So it is not that Brahma did all of this by his effort. Definitely Lord Brahma did. He put in effort, but then all of those were successful, were fruitful only because of the causeless mercy of the Lord. So we have to do our part and just wait like chatter bird for Krishna's mercy. We should not turn to any other source. We should not think that, you know, this demigod can bestow mercy on me. This demigod can bestow what I need. We should not have those wrong understanding. We should, with one-pointed attention, one-pointed focus, completely depend on Krishna. And when Krishna sees that in our heart, ananyas chinta, when we completely, our consciousness is completely fixed on Krishna without any deviation, then Krishna will bestow his mercy upon us, just like as how Lord Narayan bestowed his mercy on Brahma. We continue. Text 45.
Se amrutera ekakana karna chakora jivana karna chakora jiye se ashe bhagya vashe kabu paya bhagya kabu na paya na paile maraye piya se.
Very beautiful. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continues to explain this verse. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Se amrutera ekakana, one particle of the transcendental blissful nectar is the life and soul of the ear. The senses of the Lord are also living. So he says that one particle of this transcendental nectar, blissful nectar, is life and soul of the ear, which is like a chakora bird that lives in hope of tasting that nectar. Sometimes by good fortune, the bird can taste it, but at other times he unfortunately cannot and therefore almost dies of thirst. So it is explained in the Vibhavari Shesha, we see this line, Manasa Chandra Chakora. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, Manasa Chandra Chakora. The Chakora bird subsists only on moonlight. It subsists only on moonlight. Similarly, here Mahaprabhu is saying that Krishna is the Chandra, the moon of the gopis' minds. The gopis' minds are attached to Krishna. They're always thinking of Krishna only. You know, what are the duties of mind? The faculty, thinking, willing, and feeling. These are the three things that the mind does. It's constantly doing three things: thinking, willing, and feeling. So the gopis are always thinking of Krishna, and their desire or their will is always to serve Krishna. And finally, they have a lot of feelings and emotions for Krishna. In that way, their mind is always attached to Krishna, is always completely occupied by Krishna. So just as how the Chakora bird is subsisting on the moonlight, similarly, gopis are subsisting on the thinking of Krishna. Gopis are subsisting by thinking of Krishna. So we'll continue to next verse.
ये बावेनु कला ध्वनि एका बारा ताहा शुनी ಜಗನ್ನಾರಿ ಚಿತ್ತ ಔಲಾಯ. ನೀವಿ ಬಂದ ಪದೆ ಕಸಿ ವಿನ ಮುಲೆ ಹಯ ದಾಸಿ ಬೌಲಿ ಹನ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಾಶೆ ದಯ.
ವೆರಿ ಬ್ಯೂಟಿಫುಲ್, ಲಾಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಸ್. ಅಗೇನ್ ಐ ಆಮ್ ನಾಟ್ ಏಬಲ್ ಟು ವಿಜುವಲೈಸ್ ದಿ ಇನ್ನರ್ ಮೀನಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದೀಸ್ ವರ್ಸಸ್, ಬಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಎವರ್ ಲಿಟಲ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡಿಂಗ್ ಐ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಐಮ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಶೇರಿಂಗ್ ದೋಸ್. ಏವಾ ವೇಣು ಕಲಾಧ್ವನಿ, ದ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡೆಂಟಲ್ ವೈಬ್ರೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ಫ್ಲೂಟ್, ಏಕಬಾರ ತಾಹಾ ಶುನಿ, ಒನ್ ಟೈಮ್ ಇಫ್ ಒನ್ ಸುನ್ಸ್ ಜಗನ್ ನಾರಿ ಚಿತ್ತ ಔಲಾಯ. ಜಗನ್ ನಾರಿ, ದ ವುಮನ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್, ಚಿತ್ತ ಔಲಾಯ, ಚಿತ್ತ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ದ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಆರ್ ಕಾನ್ಶಿಯಸ್ನೆಸ್ ಆರ್ ದಿ ಹಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ವುಮನ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್, ಔಲಾಯ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟರ್ಬ್ಡ್. ಸೊ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ ಗ್ರೇಟ್ನೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸೆಂಡೆಂಟಲ್ ಫ್ಲೂಟ್. ನೀವಿ ಬಂದ ಪಡೆ ಕಾಸಿ ಅಂಡ್ ದ ಬೆಲ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಕ್ಲೋತ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ವುಮೆನ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಲೂಸೆಂಡ್ ಅಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಫೈನಲಿ ಬೌಲಿಹಾನ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಾಶೆದಾಯ, ದೇ ಆರ್ ರನ್ನಿಂಗ್ ಟುವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಆಸ್ ಮ್ಯಾಡ್ ವುಮೆನ್. ದೇ ಬಿಕಮ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಸ್ ಮ್ಯಾಡ್ ಸರ್ವೆಂಟ್ಸ್, ಮೇಡ್ ಸರ್ವೆಂಟ್ಸ್. They become mad and they run towards Krishna as if they were his maid servants. So, very beautiful. I was thinking when I was reading this verse, I was thinking that actually here it is said that the gopis are running towards Krishna as his maid servants. But I had one more thought in my heart that yes, definitely the gopis serve Krishna as his maid servants. But Krishna is in turn serving them. We see in the scriptures, Krishna is always serving the devotees. Anugrahaya Bhaktanam. Krishna is actually following the devotees always to see how he can serve them too. It says, Krishna is eagerly waiting to purify himself by the dust of the lotus feet of his devotees. So Krishna is always serving the devotees. The gopis are serving Krishna, but Krishna is serving the devotees. Just as how Draupadi Rani, Draupadi Devi, when she called for Krishna, he just appeared instantly, as if he was right there. He appeared instantly. Prahlad Maharaj did not even call, but Lord Vishnu was always there to protect him. Ambarish Maharaj, Gajendra, Krishna was right there. He's always ready to serve his devotees when and where needed. So I was thinking that, yes, the gopis are definitely running towards Krishna as his maid servants, but at the same time, Krishna is also serving the devotees always. We'll continue. Verse 47.
ಏವ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮೀ ತಾಕೂರಾಣಿ ತೇಹೋ ಏಕಾ ಕಲಿ ಶೂನಿ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪಾಶ ಐಸೆ ಪ್ರತ್ಯಾಶಾಯ ನಾಪಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣೇರ ಸಂಗ ಬಾಡೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ತರಂಗ ತಪ ಕರೆ ತಬು ನಾಹಿ ಪಾಯ.
ಸೊ ವೆನ್ ಗಾಡೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಫಾರ್ಚೂನ್ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮೀ ದೇವಿ, ವೆನ್ ಲಕ್ಷ್ಮೀ ದೇವಿ ದೇಹೋಯೆ ಕಾಕಲಿ ಶುನಿ, ವೆನ್ ಶಿ ಹಿಯರ್ಸ್ ದ ಕಾಕಲಿ, ದ ವೈಬ್ರೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಫ್ಲೂಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ವಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನ್ಸ್? ಗ್ರೇಟ್ಲಿ ಹೋಪಿಂಗ್ ಫಾರ್ ಇಸ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್, ಶಿ ಕಮ್ಸ್ ಟು ಕೃಷ್ಣ, ಬಟ್ ನೆವರ್ ದಿ ಲೆಸ್ ಶಿ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಗೆಟ್ ಇಟ್, ಶಿ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಗೆಟ್ ದ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. ನಾಪಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣೇರ ಸಂಗ, ವೆನ್ ಶಿ ಡಸ್ ನಾಟ್ ಗೆಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್, ಬಾಡೆ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ತರಂಗ, ವೆನ್ ದ ವೇವ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಥರ್ಸ್ಟ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಅಸೋಸಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇನ್ಕ್ರೀಸ್ ಇನ್ ಅವರ್ ಹಾರ್ಟ್, ದೆನ್ ವಾಟ್ ಶಿ ಡಸ್? ತಪ ಕರೆ ತಬು ನಾಹಿ ಪಾಯ, ವೆನ್ ಶಿ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮ್ಸ್ ಆಸ್ಟೆರಿಟೀಸ್ ಬಟ್ ಸ್ಟಿಲ್ ಶಿ ಕೆನಾಟ್ ಮೀಟ್ ಹಿಮ್. ಗಾಡೆಸ್ ಆಫ್ ಫಾರ್ಚೂನ್, ವಿ ನೋ ಈಸ್ ಪರ್ಫಾರ್ಮಿಂಗ್ ತಪಸ್ಯಾ ಟು enter into the pastimes of Shri Krishna, but she does not get the entry. So this verse is an indication that we cannot obtain Krishna prema by austerities. we cannot obtain Krishna prema by austerities. Definitely, there is purification in performing austerities, but we cannot get the ultimate benefit of Krishna prema. Krishna prema is not dependent on austerities. That is why generally devotees are advised not to perform too many austerities, too much austerities, because it is said too much austerity will make us hard-hearted. And Srila Prabhupada and our Gurujan, they say that in Kali Yuga, simply following the four regulative principles and chanting the minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra in itself is an austerity. And reading scriptures, these are all add-ons, studying scriptures, trying to absorb into the nectar of Harikada. All of these are additional austerities for us in Kali Yuga. So we don't have to perform extra austerities, extreme austerities, because those extreme austerities will make our heart hard, like a rock. We will not be soft anymore. And Krishna does not like hard heart. Krishna likes soft heart, like butter. And also, one more point I was thinking was, the path of Krishna consciousness naturally includes austerities. For example, we observe Ekadashi. We observe fasting on special tithis, you know. And also, we eat only prasad. We don't eat anything that is not offered to Krishna. That in itself is an austerity. For a devotee who is already situated in the process, for them it is not an austerity. But for a majority of devotees, it is difficult. You know, just eating only Krishna prasad, nicely purchasing good ingredients, cleaning them nicely, cooking them nicely, offering them nicely to Krishna, offering the bhoga to Krishna, and then accepting the mahaprasad. The whole process is an austerity for people. So if we inculcate that into our life, that itself is austerity. We don't have to go out of our way and perform additional austerity. So the austerities are naturally built into the path of Krishna consciousness. So we don't have to go out of our way and perform extra austerities. Instead, we can take up austerities such as chanting additional japa, chanting or studying scriptures, going deep into the scriptures, book distribution, helping other devotees, helping spreading the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So these are all additional austerities that we can take on. Instead of taking on physical austerities, there are a lot of other austerities. And if we speak to any of our Gurujan, or if we observe the life of our Acharyas, we see that they would prefer these type of austerities, you know, helping in spreading the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, helping in book distribution, helping other devotees practice spirituality nicely. You know, these are the things that will help us and help others, and these are the things that will please our Gurujan, that will please Srila Prabhupada. And then there's also another important point in this verse. Na paya krishnera sanga bade trishna taranga. Bade trishna taranga. So not obtaining Krishna's association is causing waves of thirst in the heart of Lakshmi Devi. So how do we see in our life? Do we have the desire to associate with senior Vaishnavas? Do we relish the association of senior Vaishnavas? Do we want to serve senior devotees? Are we eagerly looking forward to associate with senior Vaishnavas and learn something from them? Are we eager to put into practice what we learn? These are all the things that we can see in our life. This is important because without association of senior devotees, we cannot make progress in bhakti. Individually practicing we will not be able to make make progress. It is said, Bhaktistu Bhagavad Bhakta Sangena Parijayate. Bhakti only becomes manifested, Parijayate, when it becomes manifested only in the association of devotees of Krishna. Without the association of devotees of Krishna, bhakti will not manifest. So we can see in our life only, we were not naturally Krishna conscious. At least I was not naturally Krishna conscious. Yes, I had some religious background coming from North India. Coming from South India. I had some religious background, but I was not very religious. I was not dharmic. I was not following the scriptures. But once I came into the association of devotees spreading the mission of Srila Prabhupada, devotees spreading the mission of Lord Chaitanya, then naturally the consciousness arose in my heart. It was there. As we know, the bhakti is always there in our heart, but it needs to be awakened. And the awakening happens only in the association of devotees. So as we progress in the path of bhakti, we should associate with more and more senior devotees. Definitely, we have three levels of devotees. One who are totally new to the process. One who are our peers, who are performing similar sadhana like us, who are almost like our level. And then there are senior Vaishnavas who are more advanced. So at every stage in the path of bhakti, we should try to advance devotees that are higher than us. We should associate definitely with the devotees who are new, who are at our level also, but then we should associate with senior devotees to learn from them. That is the only way we will grow. If not, we will become stagnant. Without association of senior devotees, continuous association of senior devotees, we will not be able to make progress. We'll read next verse, the last verse for today. Verse 48.
E shabdamruta chari yarahaye bhagyavari sekane iha kare pana. Ihai nahi shune sekana janmila kene kana kadi sama sei kana.
Mahaprabhu is summarizing that E shabdamruta chari yarahaye bhagyavari. These four Shabdamruta, nectarian sound vibrations, who can hear? Bhagyabari, who are great, fortunate, greatly fortunate. Not just Bhagya, greatly fortunate, not just fortunate, greatly fortunate. Those who are greatly fortunate, they are able to hear this fortunate, four fortunate, these four nectarian sounds, Shabdamruta. And what are they? Krishna's words, the tinkling of ankle bells and bangles. The third is his voice. And the fourth is the vibration of his flute. And then, if one does not hear these sounds, his ears are as useless as small conch shells with holes. So if one does not hear these sounds, his ears are as useless as small conch shells with holes. Our ears have holes. Similarly, conch shells also have holes. But does a conch shell hear anything? No, it does not hear anything. So similarly, Mahaprabhu is saying that if one does not hear these sounds, then their ears are also like conch shells, which are useless. They don't hear anything. Similarly, in our case as practitioners, we should hear from Shastras. We should hear the holy name. We should chant attentively. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We should hear the holy name. We should hear from our Gurujan. We should fill our ears with Harikada in Harinam. If not, our ears will become useless as the small conch shells with holes. So this section mainly describes the sweetness and greatness of various sounds related to Krishna and how they influence Srimati Radharani and the gopis. So, dear devotees, Krishna has unlimited qualities. We know among them 64 are important, and Srila Rupa Goswami has elaborated these in Nectar of Devotion. It is explained that the living entities have 50 qualities in minute quantity. And then Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva have 5 additional qualities that make it 55. And then Lord Vishnu has 5 additional qualities that makes it 60. Finally, Lord Krishna, Purna Bhagavan, Shri Krishna has 4 additional qualities. And these 4 qualities is what distinguish Krishna from Lord Vishnu and the other incarnations. So, Nectar of Devotion describes this in detail. So, what are these 4 qualities? The first one is Leela Madhuri. Krishna performs various sweet, nectarian, wonderful pastimes. The second one is Prema Madhuri or Bhakta Madhuri. Krishna is performing, Krishna is always surrounded by his loving devotees, especially the conjugal rasa. And then the third one is Venu Madhuri. As we are reading in this chapter, in the last 2 sections, how Krishna's flute, the sound emanating, the vibration coming from Krishna's flute is so nectarian. So Venu Madhuri, Krishna is expert in playing Venu in such a way that it attracts the hearts of all living entities. So that is Venu Madhuri. And the fourth one is, we did Leela Madhuri, Prema Madhuri, Venu Madhuri. The fourth one is Rupa Madhuri. Personal beauty of Shri Krishna. The beauty and opulence of Shri Krishna is incomparable. No one is equal or greater to Krishna. No one can rival Krishna in terms of his beauty and opulence. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is none other than Shri Krishna in the mood of Srimati Radharani, is experiencing or he is seeing all of these special qualities of Shri Krishna. He is seeing the Madhurya pastimes of the Lord with Srimati Radharani and the gopis. And he is able to hear the nectarian flute sound of Shri Krishna. He is able to see the beautiful form of Shri Krishna. And he is just going into extreme ecstasy. And because of that, he is experiencing various bodily transformations. So Vasudev Ghosh, in one of his bhajans, he says, Yadi gaurana hoi to tabe ki hoi to ke mane dari tam de. Radhar mahima prema rasa sima jagate janata ke. Vasudev Ghosh is saying, if Lord Gaura did not appear in this Kali Yuga, if he had not appeared as the most merciful incarnation in this Kali Yuga, then what would have become of us? What would have happened to us? Who would have revealed Radhar Mahima, the glory of Srimati Radharani, and Prema Rasa Seema, the extreme of her ecstatic divine love? the extremes of ecstatic divine love of Srimati Radharani for Shri Krishna, who would have revealed it to us. So Mahaprabhu is that incarnation through whom we are able to understand the extreme ecstatic love that Srimati Radharani has for Shri Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, we see this verse, Anugrahaya Bhaktanam Manusham Deham Ashrita Bhajate Tadrushi Krida Yashrutva Tat Paro Bhavet. It is said, Anugrahaya Bhaktanam, to show Anugraha to the devotees, to show his mercy to the devotees, what does Krishna say? Manusham Deham Ashrita. The Lord takes the form of a human being. He appears in this material world, on this earth, as a human being. Bhajate Tadrushi Krida. He performs various krida, various pastimes, various beautiful pastimes. Yashrutva Tat Parobhavet. And hearing these, one can become attached to him. One can become dedicated to him. One can increase their love towards Krishna. So that is why Krishna performs these pastimes. And it is very important for us to understand these pastimes. And all of these pastimes the Lord is performing simply to attract our minds, hearts towards him. We see in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Janma Chanma Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvataha Tyaktva Deham Punar Janma Naiti Mameti So Arjuna. Janma Karma Chame Divyam. The Janma, the birth and the activities, karma of the Lord are transcendental. Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yoveti Tatvataha. And one who knows this in truth, one who knows this in complete, they will be able to attain the higher, they can go back to the spiritual world. We can, our mind gets captivated by these pastimes, by hearing these pastimes. So we have to understand that no amount of charity, no amount of pious activity, no amount of austerity will give us Krishna Bhakti or Krishna Prema. The only thing that is required is laulyam. Laulyam, greed for Krishna Prema. Tatra laulyam api moolyam ekalam. Janma koti sukrutir na labhyate. The only price to achieve Krishna Prema is just one thing, greed. Janma koti sukrutir na labhyate. Even one may have accumulated, amassed sukruti, pious activities, millions of lifetimes, janma koti, millions of lifetimes, still they cannot achieve Krishna Prema. The only way to achieve Krishna Prema is by having greed. Laulyam ekalam moolyam. The price for achieving Krishna Prema is laulyam, greed. So now, how do we obtain this greed? That is explained by our acharyas. Our acharyas explain that this greed can be obtained by understanding the beautiful pastimes of Krishna, by understanding under the guidance of senior Vaishnavas, Rasika Vaishnavas, by studying the scriptures and by understanding the inner purport, the inner meaning, the hidden meaning of these pastimes, we will be able to develop that greed. Without this greed, it is difficult to develop raga, to develop attachment to Krishna. We must have this greed to be able to serve Krishna as the gopis or as the manjaris, to serve Sri Sri Radha Krishna. We have to develop the greed, and that greed can be achieved by studying the scriptures under the guidance of a Rasika Vaishnava, by understanding the hidden meaning. And Mahaprabhu, he came to show a glimpse of these pastimes. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there are several verses that glorify the beauty of Krishna. But our acharyas explained that there are three prominent verses. One verse is from Venugeet. This chapter has a lot of content about the flute of Krishna. So I will go into this particular verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. So one verse is from Venugeet, which expresses the beauty of Krishna. And this is as witnessed by the gopis in pure Madhurya Bhav. So that is the first one. Verse from Venugeet in Madhurya Bhav as witnessed by the gopis. The second one is verse by Dvijapatnis, the wives of the Brahmanas. However, since they were wives of Brahmanas, they did not have 100% Madhurya Bhav towards Krishna. Their affection to Krishna, their attachment to Krishna was mixed a little bit with awe and reverence. With honor and respect. Brahma is awe and reverence. The Dvijapatni, their love for Krishna is mixed with a little bit of honor and respect. So this is the second best. Our acharyas explained that this is the second best. And the third one is from the prayers of Brahma to Lord Krishna. But here, if we observe, these prayers are filled with Dasya Bhav. They are filled with awe and reverence. So this is the third best. So the sweetness of Krishna or the beauty, the opulence of Krishna is really witnessed by the gopis. And by studying their verses, we will also be able to get a glimpse of it. It will be difficult for us to comprehend or have the same complete understanding at this stage in our life, but we can get a glimpse. And this glimpse is possible because of the mercy of Mahaprabhu and because of the mercy of Acharyas. So this is a verse from Canto 10, Chapter 21, verse 5. So let's read that verse. Let me share that verse. Can everyone see this verse from Bhagavatam? Baraha Pidam verse?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Okay, let's see.
बरहापीडं नटवर वपुः कर्णयो कर्णिकारं बिभ्रद्वासः कनककपिशं वैजयन्तीं च मालां रन्ध्रान् वेणोरदरसुदया पूरयन् गोपवृन्दैर् वृन्दारण्यं स्वपदरमणं प्राविशद् गीतकीर्तिः.
We'll quickly read the translation and then we will go a little deeper into the verse. Wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue karnikara flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijayanti garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers as he entered the forest of Vrindavana, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints. He filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the cowherd boys sang his glories. So this is a very beautiful verse. Lot of nectar is filled in this verse. Our Acharyas, Sanatan Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they have commented so beautifully on this verse. It's just nectar. But we will not go very deep into this verse due to lack of time. We will just, at the surface level, we'll try to understand this verse. So this verse describes Krishna's entrance into the forest of Vrindavan. So Krishna entered into the forest of Vrindavan along with his Gopa friends, along with the cows and calves, and he's playing his flute. And he's beautifully decorated with various items. And this verse is actually being spoken by Shukadeva Goswami as witnessed by the gopis. The gopis are witnessing this, and Shukadeva Goswami, being empowered, he is able to communicate the feelings, the communicate what the gopis are seeing. So let's try to go through some of the phrases in this verse. The first one is Baraha Pidam. Baraha Pidam means that Krishna is wearing a beautiful peacock feather on his head. This is very simple, easy to understand. Krishna is wearing a beautiful peacock feather on his head. So again, the acharyas gave pages of purport for this one, comparing, highlighting the beauty of the hair of Krishna, the peacock feather forming like a moon. So many beautiful narrations are given. But we will move on to the next phrase. Varaha Pidam Natavara Vapuhu. So while Krishna is entering Vrindavan, the way he is walking, the way he is running, the way he is jumping, the way he is dancing with his friends. You know how small kids are, they don't walk in a straight line. They try to jump and run. They try to, if there are trees, they try to reach the branches and pull some leaves or pluck a flower here and there. They try to touch everything on their way. You know, like that, Krishna is also not walking in a straight line. Krishna is walking, he's running, he's jumping, he's dancing. Natavara Vapuhu, the way he is dressed so beautifully, the way he is interacting with his friends, the way he is taking care of the cows and the calves, the way he is playing his flute, all of these, the way he is moving his eyes so beautifully from one end to another end, all of this is just simply mesmerizing. And Shukadeva Goswami says, Nata Vara, Nata. Nata means drama. So Krishna, with all of these, he looks like a artist, like a drama artist. And then Nata Vara, Vara means the great, greatest. So Nata Vara Vapuhu means he is looking like a greatest drama artist. And we know Krishna is bluish in complexion, like a cloud, and he's wearing the yellow golden dress, and he's wearing a peacock feather on his head. So with all of these beautiful decorations, Krishna just looks like a great drama artist on a big stage of forest of Vrindavan. Next phrase is Karanayo Karnikaram. This is also a beautiful phrase, and our acharyas, even they have given pages of purports on this. Karanayo Karnikaram. We know Karana means ears. Karanayoho means plural, two ears. We all have two ears like that. Krishna also has two ears. Karanayo Karanikaram. Karanikaram means one flower, Karanikara flower, only one flower. So here, Shukadeva Goswami is saying two ears, but one flower. He's decorated. He has two ears, but they're decorated with one flower. So Krishna wears a beautiful Karanikara flower. Mataji, can you see my screen, the verse?
Yes, yes, Prabhuji, we can see the screen.
Somebody just messaged that the screen is not visible. Okay, I'll continue. So Krishna is wearing this beautiful Karnikara flower in one of his ears. And sometimes he's wearing in his left ear, sometimes he's wearing in his right ear. So why like that? So our acharyas, so let's say if we just read this verse ourselves, Karnayo Karnikaram, Krishna is decorated with Karnikara flower, you know, we will not get the inner purport, the hidden purport. We will not get the inner or the hidden purport. So that is why we need purports from our acharyas, so that we can understand the real meaning. Our acharyas explain why Krishna wears a flower only in one ear. So it is explained that this Karnikara flower follows the movement of the sun. Growing up in India, I know I used to see sunflower plants, and the sunflower plant follows the sun. In the morning, the sunflower is facing the east, and as the sun goes to west, the sunflower is also moving, following the path of the sun. So similarly, this Karnikara flower also follows the path of the sun. As the sun is moving from east to west, the Karnikara flower also moves along the path of the sun. And as the sun sets, it is explained that the Karnikara flower actually closes. So like that, Krishna also, Krishna, just as the Karnikara flower is attached to the sun, Krishna also is attached to the gopis. So depending on where the gopis are located, Krishna wears a Karnikara flower in that year. If the gopis are located in the right side, then Krishna wears a Karnikara flower in his right ear. If the gopis are located in the left side, then Krishna wears a Karnikara flower in that left ear. Just to show his attraction to the gopis. Wherever the gopis are, Krishna wears the Karnikara flower in that ear. So this is one of the explanations that is given. We'll continue. Mataji, if you are not able to see my screen, you can pull up this verse on Vedabase. It is Canto 10, Chapter 21, Verse 5. Okay, thank you, Indulekha Mataji, for sharing. So let's move on to the next phrase. Bibrat Vasaha Kanaka Kapisham. You know, Krishna is bluish, dark complexion, just like a fresh monsoon cloud, and we also know Krishna wears a shining yellow garment, pita garment as brilliant as gold. And our acharyas explain Krishna wears this colored garment because that is the color of Srimati Radharani. To show his attraction, to show his affection to Radharani, Krishna wears this color garment. And then next is Vaijayantim cha malam. Krishna is wearing Vaijayanti mala. This is one of the symbols of Krishna. Krishna wears Vaijayanti mala. Krishna on his broad chest wears a beautiful Vaijayanti mala, a garland made of, our acharyas explain what is Vaijayanti mala. Vaijayanti mala is a garland made of five kinds of forest flowers. And what are they? Tulasi, Kunda, Mandara, Parijata, and then Kamala. These are the five different flowers with which the Vaijayanti mala is made. And also, Vaijayanti means, our acharyas explain, Kirti Mai mala. And I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur or Shripad Vallabhacharya, he says, it also means Nischayena Sarva Jaya Prakashika. So it is not that this word, this garland gives victory to Krishna. No, it is because of this garland, Krishna does not become victorious. No, it's not like that. What it means is it makes Krishna glorious. It just adds to the glory of Krishna. Krishna is already glorious, but just this garland adds to the glory of Krishna. So that's the explanation that our acharyas have given. So now with all of these decorations, with all of these beautiful garlands, ornaments, dress, the flower, the peacock feather, with all of these decorations and playing with the cowherd friends, grazing the cows and the calves, Krishna is entering the forests of Vrindavan. And seeing him in this way, there are new ecstatic emotions that are coming in the hearts of the gopis. So we'll move on to the next phrase. Randran Venor Adara Sudaya Purayan. Randran Venor, the holes of the Venu. Randra means hole, Venor means Venu, the flute. The holes of the flute, Adara Sudaya Purayan. Krishna is filling the holes of the flute with Adara Sudha. Adara means lips, Sudha means nectar. Purayan, Krishna is filling. So Krishna is filling the holes of the flute with the nectar of his lips. So basically he is blowing air into the holes of the flute, and the flute, because of that air being blown by Krishna into the holes, the flute is making beautiful vibrations, sound vibrations. So that is the general meaning. That is the Sanskrit meaning. That is the meaning that we can easily understand just by reading the Sanskrit. But there is a hidden meaning, which our acharyas reveal. Generally, what do holes represent? Holes represent defect. So, for example, if I go to the shop to buy a kurta or a dhoti, and if it has a hole in it, I will say that, you know, I will tell the shopkeeper that this is defective. It has a hole, so I cannot buy this. Similarly, if we buy an earthen pot and if it has a hole, it is defective. It will not be able to hold the water, or it will not be able to hold whatever we are trying to fill the pot. The pot will not be able to hold it. So similarly, the flute having holes seems like it is defective, right? Because in general, in the material world, anything that has holes, we consider it to be defective. So the flute, from a material perspective, being a non-living object, because it having holes, it seems to be defective. And we know from scriptures that any person with defects, or any person with contamination, or any person with anarthas cannot go back to the spiritual world. So how this flute with holes, defects like holes, is able to personally associate with Krishna? How is it able to eternally stay with Krishna? So our acharyas bridge this gap. Our acharyas say that to cover this misunderstanding, this seemingly misunderstanding, our acharyas say that Shyamasundar, Sri Krishna, he fills these holes with the nectar of his lips. So, as Krishna is blowing the flute, the holes are filled with the nectar of Krishna. So, the holes are not holes anymore. So, the flute is full. It is not, it does not have any holes anymore. It is not defective anymore. And there is also another meaning. I'll quickly narrate this. Generally, the flute is hollow. It is lifeless. But Krishna, by giving the nectar of his lips, it brings the flute into life. Krishna brings life into the flute, and Krishna makes the flute lively, alive. And also another meaning that our acharyas say, the flute is dry, right? The flute is not moist, the flute is dry. But when Krishna blows air through the holes of the flute, and when there is beautiful sound vibrations coming from the flute, then the devotees, when they hear this beautiful nectarian sound, it moistens the eyes and the heart of the devotees. So that is the speciality of Krishna's flute, playing of flute. So let's move on. We will skip Gopa Vrindayar for now, and we will discuss the next phrase. Vrindaranyam Svapada Ramanam. Vrindaranyam, the forest of Vrindavana, the land of Vrindavana, Svapada Ramanam. Krishna is directly walking, Svapada. He is directly walking with his feet without any shoes on the land of Vrindavana. We know that Krishna walks barefoot in the forest of Vrindavan, in Vrindavan. Krishna does not wear any footwear. And when we know the story where once Yashodamai asked Krishna to wear shoes when going to the forest of Vrindavan for grazing the cows, and Krishna responded by saying that, you know, if you give shoes for all of my 9 lakh cows, then I will also wear shoes. Then Yashodamai understood the complexity of making shoes for 9 lakh cows, that is 36 lakh cows, and she dropped the idea. So Krishna was walking barefoot in Vrindavan. Krishna wears shoes outside of Vrindavan. Dwaraka, maybe Mathura, Vaikuntha, Krishna may wear shoes, but not in Vrindavan. Krishna does not wear shoes in Vrindavan. And also it is explained that why is the earth glorious? The earth is glorious because of the presence of Vrindavan. And why is Vrindavan glorious? Vrindavan is glorious because Vrindavan is filled with the footprints of Krishna. And Krishna has various auspicious symbols on the soles of his lotus feet. And Vrindavan is filled with the footprints of Krishna, with these auspicious footprints of Krishna. That is what makes Vrindavan special. And because of the presence of Vrindavan on the earth, earth becomes special and glorious. So we'll move on. The final phrase is Gopa Vrindair Pravishad Gita Kirtihi. Again, this one also a beautiful phrase, and our acharyas gave a lot of meaning. So Krishna entered Pravishad. Krishna entered the forest of Vrindavan. How? Gopa Vrindair, along with the cowherd boys. Gita Kirtihi. And what were they doing? Gita Kirtihi, there are two meanings here. One is the cowherd boys are singing the glories of Krishna. They are singing the beauty of Krishna. They are narrating verses and songs glorifying Krishna's beauty. They are singing songs glorifying Krishna's various pastimes like killing of Putana and other pastimes. So the gopis, the gopas, the cowherd boys are singing songs in glorification of Krishna. And it is also explained that Krishna is also singing along with the gopis. So now, why is Krishna singing along with the, sorry, gopas? Why is Krishna singing along with the gopas? This, our Rasika Harishuriji, he explains. He explains that in the future, Krishna is aware that in the near future, I have to sing one more song to instruct Partha, Arjuna. To instruct Arjuna, I have to sing a song very soon, which is Bhagavad Gita. So let me rehearse now. Let me rehearse so that when I have to sing instructions to Arjuna, I'll be able to sing properly. So that is why our Acharya Harisuriji specifically, he says that Krishna is also singing along with the gopas to prepare himself. So we see there's so much nectar in Bhagavatam, in the scriptures, in studying the scriptures, especially studying the deeper meaning of scriptures. So by studying such verses, such nectarian commentary purports on the pastimes, the leela of the Lord, we will naturally, or we will slowly, we will be able to develop attachment and attraction to Krishna. And, or at least we will develop greed to develop attraction to Krishna. And this greed is important for us. Laulyam ekalam mulyam. The laulyam, the greed, is the only price, nothing else. We may read the scriptures, we may by heart the entire Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita. We may memorize all the commentaries, but if we don't understand them, if we don't internalize them, and if we don't develop the greed to serve Krishna, to understand Krishna, to lovingly serve Sri Sri Radha Krishna, then it's a failure. So by studying the scriptures under the guidance of senior Vaishnavas, by going deeper and understanding the hidden meanings of the verses, we can one day get entry into Raga Bhakti. We can serve Krishna in the mood of Prajavasis. So with that, dear devotees, we will end our discussion. Please forgive me if there are any mistakes in my presentation today. And please pray for me so that I can develop taste in Harikada and in Harinam. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Samaveta Gaura Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for this nectarian class. I got to learn so many new points. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, dear devotees. Are there any questions for Prabhuji? Prabhuji, can I ask a question, Prabhuji?
Yes, please go ahead, Mathu.
Prabhuji, so as you are explaining in the class, that we should have the greed and we should develop this greed also. So, but in some classes, we listen that we have to get this on the platform of Vaidhi Bhakti if we are not in the Raganuga Bhakti. For this, we have to follow the certain rules, austerities. We have to follow all this. Then how to understand those austerities and how to understand some austerities or make us rigid, like hard-hearted. So how do you draw a line between what are best in our bhakti to perform austerities to grow in the bhakti?
Very beautiful question. It's several layers of questions, Mataji. So I'll try to answer. So the first is, you are saying that we have to perform Vaidhi before entering into Raga. So that is good. That is correct, Mataji. We have to perform Vaidhi Bhakti first, but we should not stay in Vaidhi Bhakti. We should not think that Vaidhi Bhakti will give us the ultimate goal. Yes, it is possible. It is possible by the mercy of Vaishnavas. It is possible. But then the we should aim for Raganuga Bhakti. We should aim for loving attachment to Krishna. Just a simple example. So I'm not at the stage of Raga Bhakti. So for me, when I wake up in the morning, I do my morning duties and then I offer something to my deities, my shalikrams. So that I'm doing mechanically. Some days I get a thought that, you know, Jagannath may be hungry, Kaunita may be hungry. I may have these feelings, but it is not constant. But when we come to the stage of Raga Bhakti, that attachment is constant. I see some devotees, they always say that, you know, my Laddu Gopal is hungry, my Jagannath is hungry. Today I'm cooking this for my Jagannath. Today I'm doing this. Today I'm dressing them in this clothes, in this decoration. So that is attachment to Krishna. So this is how the Vrajavasis are. Vrajavasis, they don't practice Vaidhi Bhakti. They are in Rag. They are in highest level of, the highest stage of Bhakti. For them, it is natural. So for us, as sadhakas, we perform Vaidhi Bhakti to come to the stage of Raga Bhakti. What I'm trying to say is that Vaidhi Bhakti is not all in all. We should not think that by doing Vaidhi Bhakti, we will naturally attain Raga Bhakti, attachment to Krishna. Yes, it is definitely possible by the mercy of, you know, Vaishnavas. Anything is possible. But we should put extra effort to develop that attachment. And that attachment, that greed for the attachment only comes by hearing and studying scriptures deeply. So that was one, Mataji. What was your other question?
So like austerities, you yes. said, Prabhu, some make us rigid and some austerities, as I heard in other classes, will increase or will like act as a catalyst in our bhakti.
Right.
So how to identify which are good and which make us rigid in our personality also?
Okay. So this is, it's at an individual level, Mataji, honestly. So the first thing is we have to take austerities under the guidance of superiors. Because I was just hearing my Guru Maharaj. He spoke, I think, a couple of days ago. He was saying that, especially, I think this is for the initiated devotees, he was saying that, you know, we have to take any vow under the guidance. We should not take any austerities or any vows independently. Because the superior Vaishnavas, they will be able to gauge our capacity. Say, for example, I take a vow that I chant 192 rounds every day. I wish I can, but no, it's not possible. So let's say if I take a vow that I'll chant 192 rounds, and it's impossible. And what will happen? For me to chant 192 rounds, I have to neglect my work. I have to neglect my job. Sorry, I have to neglect my job. I have to neglect my family. I have to neglect my kids. And I may even have to give up, neglect my health also. So now I'm chanting my 192 rounds and my son comes running saying, Daddy, help me with this. And what will I say? No, I cannot help you. I have to chant my rounds. So by doing like that, we will become hard-hearted. We'll become indifferent. Somebody is in need of help and we are not ready to help. Because we have set an we have taken a vow that is very austere. We lose kindness from our heart. We will not be able to be merciful. We will not be able to help others. So that's why austerities or vows should be taken under guidance. Anything, actually, to that point, anything in the path of bhakti, we should do under the guidance. We should not do anything independently because it is a setting step for success, failure. It is definitely a stepping stone for failure. We will not be able to succeed independently. We have to always do everything under guidance. And the austerities, see, for example, four regulative principles, chanting 16 rounds attentively. Like I was saying earlier, that is an austerity. If we see, are we able to chant 16 rounds attentively? See, now I took a vow of chanting 192 rounds. Now, what about my 16 rounds? Am I chanting those attentively? So we have to follow the austerities given by our acharyas and our gurujan first. And when we report to them that, oh Guru Maharaj, I'm able to do this successfully, can you tell me what else I can do? Or you can present, Guru Maharaj, I'm thinking I will do this austerity. I want to chant 192 rounds. What, could you please guide me? Is that, I got this thought. Will you bless it? Or what is your opinion? Or you can say, I'm able to do all of these austerities now, chanting 16 rounds, following four regulative principles. All of these I'm able to do nicely. Can you give me one more instruction? You know, like that, we have to build on our austerities. We should not take austerities that are difficult to accomplish and that will spoil our sadhana. For example, one more example I can give, fasting on Ekadashi. These are all my personal experiences, so that's why I'm quoting this. Fasting on Ekadashi. A devotee may do nirjal on Ekadashi. But what is the consciousness? What is the consciousness on the day of Ekadashi? And what is the consciousness the next day morning? Because when we do full fast, the body becomes very weak. So on the day of Ekadashi, we will not be able to do all our services nicely. And on the next day morning, early morning, when we wake up, we will not be, because of our weakness, we will not be able to perform our morning duties nicely. So, you know, like that, austerities, again, all of these are individual based. You know, there may be people who are, for whom it is very easy to fast. You know, and for some people, it's very easy to perform Ekadashi, Nirjal Ekadashi. You know, like stay awake all night. I know some Matajis that stay awake all night, which I cannot do. You know, so we have to see what austerities we are able to perform. And we should be consistent at it. It's not that, you know, today I chant 16 rounds early in the morning and tomorrow I chant 16 rounds in the afternoon or in the night. It should not be like that. The austerity, even chanting 16 rounds is an austerity. We may feel it is easy, but chanting 16 rounds, following the rules of not committing the avoiding the 10 offenses, it's an austerity. And so those we should follow first. We should follow the basic rules and regulations that Srila Prabhupada, our Gurujan, have given. We should follow those austerities first. And once we evaluate with our superiors that Prabhuji or Mataji, I'm able to follow all of this nicely, can you give me something more? You know, so we have to build gradually. If not, the heart becomes very hard because we will not have time to do other things, to help others. So does that answer the question, Mataji?
Yes, yes, Prabhuji, yes, Prabhuji. I got good clarification. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Dear devotees, anybody has any questions for our Prabhuji?
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much. Such a pleasure to have you on the call. We are very, very grateful for your association. It was a very beautiful, compassionate class. And the question answers were also very nice. Thank you so much. And your mood rubs on to all the devotees. So we all feel very nice after this class. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Mataji, thank you so much, Priti Vilas Mataji, for giving me this opportunity and be able to speak some Harikatha and purify myself and serve Vaishnavas. Thank you, Mataji.
Jai Prabhupada.
Prabhuji, I have a question. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, please go ahead, Mataji.
I have a question. Are you based in India or USA?
US, Mataji.
Okay. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to all the Guru Vargas. Thank you for such a wonderful, very nectarian class with so many instructions. I mean, very practically, you're explaining to us how we should do our sadhana, to what level. And then we have to always do things from our side. That effort has to come from our side. We cannot just rely on Krishna alone. So thank you so much for always giving such instructive classes. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, dear devotees. So if there are no more questions for Prabhuji, so with all your permission and Prabhuji's permission.
Hare Krishna, such an Akadian class as usual. Should be very, you explained that we have to do our sadhana very attentively, and other time we have to read Sisi Bhagavatam, Sisi Bhagavad Gita, Sisi Sitan Sharamrut, and share with Vaishnava. I know you from last 9 years, attending Ajay Adhikatada Prabhu and Ajay, others, senior Vaishnava and Maharaj class, so attentively, and you and Mataji are serving Atlanta Panyatidam, so sincerely, Prabhu. Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam to your sincere seva. Sachi Gaur Prabhu ki jai. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Gurudev Shri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Thank you Prabhuji for your deep, deep, deep devotional association. Hari Hari Gauranga Dhanvat Pranam.
Thank you,
we can't hear you clearly. There's some background noise.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice class. Hare Krishna. Very nicely explained. In that Barha Piranatavaravapu, that is a Devana Karni on his ear, Krishna's ear, he bears a blue Karnikala flower. So, is there any, do you know which flower is it? Karnikala, what is the meaning of the Karnikala?
Mataji, I do not know exactly, but in my research, I saw that this flower is actually yellow in color. I also have to do some more research. I have not gotten time to do it, but I saw that this flower is yellow in color, representing Radharani's complexion. But in our translation, it says blue color. I saw in other Sanskrit websites also, they say it is a yellow colored flower, but I did not find much details, Mataji. I will follow up, and if I get more information, I will share, Mataji.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Very nice, guys. Thank you. And our answers are also very nice. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Okay, thank you so much, Prabhuji. Vancha kalpa tarupyasya kripa sindhu vyaye vacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnava vrindi ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupad ki jai. Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai. His grace Sachi Prana Gaur Hari Das Prabhuji ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.